Hello. We're back. This is Left Out on WRCT. You can give us a call at 412-621-9728 or on campus 89728. So there are some more issues that we have in our schedule today. Did you have a specific one you want to talk about next, Robert?
Well, let's see. Well, what would you like to talk about? We have
Powell's eyewitnesses to the mobile weapons laboratory. That's an interesting story. It just came out in the Los Angeles Times when they were tracking down where some of the sources of information that were used by our government by the administration when promoting the war and demonstrating that Saddam Hussein was a dangerous threat to the United States. Now is a good time to look into where those claims were coming from. So apparently the Los Angeles Times has actually started to do that. And it turns out that the reports of the eyewitness reports, if you remember during Powell's testimony before the UN, he had these artist renditions of these mobile weapons lab on rail cars and in trucks. Well, they weren't photographs or anything. Because
let's call them what they were. They were cartoons.
They were cartoons, right. And it turns out that the description of these things came from a guy who was, he was an Iraqi in exile. He was living in Germany, but he was a relative of somebody who worked closely with Chalabi.
Right.
Who's from the Iraqi National Congress, who apparently was a big source of information for Judith Miller himself directly, and apparently set up this eyewitness who went by the nickname Curveball.
Oddly enough.
Yeah, so quite appropriate, that name. So I don't know what else to say about that. It's just, was he making it all up?
Well, the interesting thing is, so David Kay, who was the head of the search for the weapons of the weapons of mass destruction, the pretend search for weapons of mass destruction that everybody knew full well didn't exist after the war. David Kay himself says they knew that they didn't exist, but he was in charge of wink wink looking for the weapons of mass destruction, and oddly enough, didn't find anything. He's commented on this thing. He has a number of comments about this particular curveball case, as it was called. The thing that he remarks on, one of the things he said is, this is one that's damning. This is the one that has the potential of causing the largest havoc in the sense that it really looks like a lack of due diligence and care going forward. He said that the defector, this particular person, was absolutely at the heart of the matter of intense interest to us, but he turned out to be an out-and-out fabricator. So the interesting thing is that about this story is that the thing that's really kind of comical, if it weren't so sad, since it led to the deaths of thousands upon thousands of Iraqis and hundreds of Americans and other allied forces, and if we could possibly set that aside, the thing would be a farce. That, of course, when Powell made his testimony with his cartoons, and many people have commented on that, including us and Left Out, that what passed as evidence were these cartoons. Well, it turns out that they didn't actually check into any of this stuff. And to quote David Kay, here's a quote from Kay. And remember, Kay is an administration guy. He says, if Powell has said to the Security Council, it's one source, we never actually talked to him, and we don't know his name, and as he's describing this, I think people would have laughed us out of court, to say the least. I would say, and again, you know, the thing that's so interesting about this is that it was totally obvious at the time that this was just a complete farce. And yet, you know, as we've commented before, and many other sources have commented before, all the newspapers around the country, you know, genuflected and said, oh, it's a compelling
overwhelming
case. It's an overwhelming case. It's just a stunning how incredibly great Colin Powell was. Well, what he was great at was acting. He managed to do it with a straight face. He managed to, you know, to suppress his own skepticism for, you want to say the greater good, but I don't know whose greater good it was. for the greater good of invading Iraq at all costs, because that, of course, was the intended outcome and the only acceptable outcome. So here we are. Now the Los Angeles Times, which, by the way, I have to say, has been very, to its credit, has been very good throughout this period of at least looking a little bit under the rug to figure out what's really going on with these clowns, has now looked into who Curveball is and what was going on with Curveball. And the fact is the whole thing was, well, it was a fraud. It was a fraud.
So
it's a complete fraud.
That reminds me of another recent incident that occurred where there was a dinner for the radio and TV personalities that Bush went to. It was an annual, apparently big annual fancy dinner that they have. And Bush was, the president typically gives a speech and is supposed to make fun of himself and it's supposed to be funny. So this happened a couple of weeks ago, and there was one reporter there named David Korn, who's from The Nation, and he reported an article the day afterward describing the jokes that some of the jokes that Bush had been telling, and apparently one of the things he had in there was slides or photographs of him, of George Bush and other members of the administration
from the
Oval Office looking under the furniture, and then he's saying, well, where are those weapons of mass destruction? They're looking around the White House. They're looking under the bushes outside the White House, things like that, with this funny thing. Dang, those weapons must be somewhere. And this was very, you know, considered very funny by almost everybody in the room. And David Korn just had this really gnawing feeling that this wasn't, you know, that appropriate. He had a bad feeling about the whole thing. So he came back the next day, wrote a column in The Nation magazine about it. Well, meanwhile, this has also been reported in mainstream news, and a lot of the newscasters and commentators have mentioned this, and they thought it was funny. But surprisingly to them, they got a huge negative, overwhelming public response to this. So Fox News was getting hundreds of calls and emails saying, this is what Bush is not funny and not appropriate. It's outrageous. And the commentators and media people were like, well, I thought it was funny. I was there. I thought it was funny. They just don't seem to get the idea that, well, you know, it's one thing for Jay Leno to make a few jokes or Jon Stewart on a comedy show, but it's different for Bush,
the president,
who ordered this to happen, the hundreds of billions of dollars, the thousands of people killed because of his own lies and making a joke out of that. I mean, it's different, and it's not, you know— It would be like, what if Johnson had been joking about the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, which was what he used to justify the U.S. Initial involvement in Vietnam after the incredible tragedy of Vietnam? To joke about that, it's something sick.
It's also useful to imagine. Can you just imagine if the tables have been turned? Let's imagine that say that. That Bill Clinton had done the invasion of Iraq or in any other military operation, and then had gone made light of the fact that hundreds of American soldiers were killed. Can you imagine what the liberal media would be saying about that? Can you imagine what that left-wing wacko Rush Limbaugh would be saying? Can you imagine what that pinko O'Reilly would be saying? Can you even imagine the liberal media and how that they would be reacting to this? It would just be incredible. I mean, think of how they reacted to, marital indiscretion, never mind something of substance. But, you know, but when it comes to W, you know, he gets a free ride with all these kinds of things. So going back, I mean, yeah, this whole story with, it turns out to be this guy, this chief, this, you know, major informer, eyewitness as described by Colin Powell to these mobile weapons labs, was one of Kalabi's cronies. And it turns out he was an embezzler who'd been in prison, actually, for embezzling in Iraq. So just like Kalabi, as we know, is a convicted felon in Jordan for a major banking fraud that he was convicted of there. So we can say committed there and can't go back to Jordan, right? And of course, this is where we're listening to. So it raises the following question. Are these people in Washington, and we know who they primarily are these people fools? Are these people fools? Are Rumsfeld and Cheney and Wolfowitz and these characters, are they fools? Or are they just deliberately misusing this shabby, shoddy excuse for intelligence in order to achieve their predetermined ends? And people being killed, who gives a shit about, who cares about that? That doesn't matter one bit. So the question is, what is it, which is it, you know? And I think on alternate days, sometimes I think that these are just fools. These guys are absolute fools, that they were victimized by their own faith-based approach to intelligence and foreign policy, where the answer is known, we just have to find the justification for it. So sometimes I think they're fools. Richard Clark's book, more or less makes the case directly, more or less directly, that these people are just fools. On the other hand, they can't be such fools. I mean, no matter what you think of them, I mean, no matter what I think of them, I find it really impossible, you know, in all seriousness, to maintain that they're fools, in which case they're criminals. So which is it, fools or criminals?
So if you look at the whole spectrum of behavior, the administration's response to things, it's all a PR system, that everything is just viewed as a PR. So you can discredit Clark by making something up, by saying things that just change the balance of the PR, then that's considered, you know, an appropriate thing to do. And so maybe it's just an extension of that. So you say, well, we're going to go to Iraq. We know Saddam is bad. We know it's good. We have to get rid of him. We know that's the right thing for the United States, you know, for hegemony of the United States to do is to have this, to go and take over Iraq, install military bases there, as another step toward controlling the Middle East, where all the oil is. Well, if we have to publicize bogus reports from some criminal guy that is a way of doing that, then let's do it. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't sound like they believed him or needed to believe him. They just needed him as a source to say, well, there was a source that said this. And then Powell went forward and said, there was a source that said this.
So then an interesting question is, what about Judy Miller? So Judy Miller, these are the very same sources that Judy Miller used to publish her nonsense in the New York Times. So the question is, again, you know, it's come up repeatedly, is Judy Miller a fool or a dupe? Or is she actually, complicit in all of this? Is she somebody who is deliberately not wanting to know and taking people's word for it and producing this as authoritative information? To be honest, I'm really sorry to say, but to be honest, I think it's really the latter. I think it was a deliberate and systematic campaign to misrepresent and to fraudulently convince the United States and the world that that somehow the invasion of Iraq was a response to terrorist attacks in 9/11, which it was nothing of the kind, had nothing to do with any of it. It was totally ineffectual in this dimension. In fact, the opposite effect. And it was all just part of this cynical manipulation of public opinion in the pursuit of other goals that are just not really disclosed. It's a sad thing. The only thing we can do at this point is get them out of office and prosecute them for their crimes. I would love to see that.
If you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, you better let that lie alone. Just let me tell you how lies do. He's always coming with something new. Steal your heart with false pretend, making out like he's your bosom friend. When he finds out you believe what he says, then that liar's gonna have his way. He'll bring you news about women and men. He'll make you fall out with his dearest friend. If you don't want to get in trouble, don't want to get in trouble, don't want to get in trouble, you better let that liar alone. When a liar takes a notion of fin and prove, you lay around the neighbors get the news. Nearly every day, you look out, you see that liar coming to your house. Tell you such a lie, surprise your mind. He'll mix a little truth to make it shine. When he gets his business fixed just right, then that liar's gonna cause a fight. If you don't wanna get in trouble, if you don't wanna get in trouble, if you don't wanna get in trouble, you better let that liar alone. Everything's in perfect peace. Then come to lie with his deceit. He'll make pretend that he loves you so well. Everything you hear, he must come and tell. Tell you, my friend, if you just knew. Certain someone told me about you. You have studied up a lie. Tell it so smooth you think undoubtedly that must be true. Heard you out to trace the lie. You'll have to go to jail and stand a trial. Don't want to get in trouble. If you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, you better let that lie alone. Oh,